Thank you all for being here today. If you're watching online, a special thank you to you as well. You honor us by participating, even though you may be at a distance. It's still okay. God is everywhere. Amen? And so we are just honored for everyone to be here today. Thank you for your presence. And thank you, praise and worship team. And we have a special guest today I'm very excited about. And he's here not just because he's my nephew, but he's here because he deserves to be here, I think, and you're going to love his speaking. And out of all my nephews, Brandon, I'll say this on record, out of all my nephews, you're one of them. Just so you know. But let's put your hands together and help me welcome my nephew, Brandon Donaldson.
Wow, what an honor. What an honor. So, yeah, thank you for having me, even though you probably didn't have a choice. Thank you for that golf clap. That was helpful. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. So I know that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And if you didn't know, I work for the Bible app. So if you do have your Bibles, everybody does. You can pull out your phones right now. This is the one pastor will say, pull out your phones, which is your Bibles. And we'll be getting in there in a minute. But one of the things I get to do is I get to work with pastors. And it's a really, really cool deal. I've done it for many years now. Pastors all over the world. And so I have a deep, deep heart for pastors and what they do. And I just want to say that because I get to stand up here on Pastor Appreciation Sunday and the month, and I get to honor my uncle. So I call him Uncle Jeff, but Pastor Jeff and Jill, you guys have no idea. If there's anything that happens today, and there will be, because Jesus is going to preach today, I believe that. I could count on one hand the people that have been transformative in my life and pushed me to a relationship with Jesus and a passion for it. Jeff, I've told you this privately, but you know that you're one of them. He just has such a heart. He always has, but he's always been so cool too, you know? So as a young guy, that helped a lot. He did everything that I wanted to do better, and so I always wanted to be like him in every way, and that's the truth. And I still feel that way, and I'm overwhelmed, honestly, with emotion and just in worship. And I don't know about you, but now in worship, this isn't an age thing. This is a Jesus thing. I'm moved. Do you realize what we have and what we get to do? I hope today that you will. But can we give some love to not only Pastor Jeff and Jill, but the great pastors in this place? Show them your appreciation. I love you. All right. So you might be thinking this is old school, but Jeff, this actually is a gift. Uncle Jeff gave me this on my senior year of high school for graduation. It holds all the music that I've written since then. I had to take some out because I've written so much music. Because we love music in our house. And I thought, you know what? I haven't preached in a while. I don't have an iPad, so I'm gonna bring my notebook here. So thanks. All right, so let me tell you a story. 1993, it's in the Philippines. It was in a small city. It's called Cotabato City. I don't know if you ever heard. It's in one of the islands there. And there was this basketball game that was happening with the city team. Because if you didn't know, the Filipinos love basketball, especially in the night. I mean, love basketball. And so they had the city team and an international team was visiting. And so they were having a game, right? And so, and everybody comes out. I mean, it's crazy. So the gym was packed full. This small gymnasium was just packed full of people all across the city. And they started the game, and it was electric. And by, I think, both teams' surprise, it was a very evenly matched game. And so they were playing, and there's this one player on the international team that began to score out of his mind. Like, just, I mean, three-pointers, you know, hook shots around the thing, 10-foot jumpers, You know, this is in the 90s, so this is like, you know, the turnaround jump shot that Michael Jordan, you know, made famous, you know, like just everything was just happening, and soon the crowd starts responding, right? And there was this one time where this player came down the middle of the lane, you know, did a running sort of jump shot with one thing, goes in, just swish, nothing but net, like hasn't missed all night, and the crowd starts chanting, air, 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 air. And it's just going crazy. The international team wins, and it was the greatest game of my life. It was me. Yeah, yeah, if you didn't catch, yeah. Tried to work it as much as I could there. It really was the greatest game of my life. It is 30 years ago, so it's based on a true story. But I will say this, if you're interested in that story, my soon-to-be wife, now wife, was actually there in that small, and nobody else was. So you're the first people that really get to hear about the greatest game I've ever played in my entire life. And it really was. And for some humble pie here, it really was their city team, and we had no idea, right? We're on a missions trip, but we had with some guys we had played with. And they brought the regional team. I didn't know there was, like, and they brought them the next day and said, oh, we got to play. And I couldn't walk. I was like, I was gone. And so we lost that game pretty bad. But why do I tell that story? You know, I think it illustrates a point. Especially when we are usually out there, that's usually where I am, and someone's up here with Jesus and discipleship. I think sometimes we can hear stories of Jesus or other people's stories, the Philippine game, and we think, oh man, that's awesome. Jesus is awesome. But then to be honest, it doesn't really relate to our everyday. We don't feel like it does. You with me? I mean, we hear those stories, we believe them, but we don't think that we can live them. Or we think that that's what discipleship is supposed to look like, is those big impact moments, right? Or it's the when Jesus says, love your enemies, we're like, well, I should be able to do that right now, or turn the other cheek, or, you know, all that stuff that you're like, yeah. And then you try it, and you're like, I can't do that, right? I mean, like, we're all excited about it, and then that very day, I'm yelling at my kids. Well, man, what in the world? I'm arguing with my spouse. I'm getting overwhelmed and stressed out at my job. Is that just me or anybody relate, right? So we can, if we're really honest, we sometimes separate these things and we see something like a big game. You know, it's like, and we miss the connection to everyday life. I think it's a big mistake. And so today we're going to look at just one passage of Scripture. And guess what? It's all going to be the red letters. You know what that means, right? So when you look at the red letter, these are Jesus' words. So we're going to look at a passage in Matthew. So seriously, if you want to pull out your Bibles, if you don't have the Bible app, it's free. You can download it. I'll be in the New Living Translation version for many times. Or you can pull out your paper Bibles. And we're going to go to Matthew 11, 28 and 30. And we're going to just be there. We're going to be there for this morning. And this is, if you are taking notes or if you're a note taker, here's the title. You ready? Discipleship 101. Discipleship 101. And so my assignment is to break down some of those misconceptions of discipleship, maybe even of Jesus. And I want to bring some new perspective. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm going to let Jesus bring some new perspective for us, in order that we can thrive as disciples of Jesus. And this might not be a text that you usually go to. And I'm going to show you, and we're going to get pretty excited about what Jesus says about discipleship. So, let me ask you a question. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Good, good. So, let me ask you another question. What does that mean? What does it look like? What do you do? What are you supposed to do?
Spread the word.
And there's a lot in that, right? So as you think about what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to follow Jesus? That's where we're going to go today. All right. My pastor sometimes says, if you're ready, say you're ready. If you're ready, say you're ready.
Ready.
Man, you guys are awesome. All right. All right. See how hard now I'm feeling comfortable. Okay. Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Then Jesus said, Jesus' words, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So before we even get to the discipleship points, I want to read this first sentence, because this is before. I want you to hear it. And listen, this is what the great thing about God. There's usually one thing. So you're looking for your one thing today. You're not going to remember all this. We'll talk in a few years. That's okay. You know, you remember what I talked about? I don't. But I'm telling you, God's going to give you one thing. This could be it for some of you. This is before we hit the discipleship stuff. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So look at this. Who's he talking to? Who's this available? All. So what's the prerequisite? You got a heavy burden? Or what is it? Or you're weary, right? Okay, so what do they need to do? What do we need to do? Come. Wait. Do I need to do any discipleship? Something? Is there something? Do I need to accept Christ as my Savior? No, what does he say? Come. Come to me. Have you ever read the Gospels and realized who Jesus attracted all the time? This is what he got in trouble for from the religious people. You know this, right? It was all the people that were down and out and sinners and the outcast. It was me. And I hope you relate, because then you'd be the other side if you don't see. So this is good. And that's how Jesus worked. The first thing was, what did he do? He healed people. He loved people. They flocked around him. There was something about him. And some of you need to hear that. You're weary and burdened. Just come. Come to Jesus. He will give you rest. It's good to know, too, for those that have followed Christ for a while. Because when we're out there, are we looking at those people the way Jesus does? Where it's like, no, you don't have to clean up, do anything. Just come. Is that the message that we're giving? Is that the message that we're living?
Good.
That's it. We're not even to the discipleship part yet, but I guess that's part of it. All right. So then the next words of Jesus. So this is point one, if you're a note taker. Take Jesus' yoke upon you. He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Now, you might have heard some people talk about this. This is a really interesting, the word yoke, right? So for those that still maybe have some farmland around here, or you know, you might remember, but when they built a yoke for oxen, right, those that would sort of plow the fields, it was always built for how many animals? Two, right? So you'd have this big, you know, wooden piece, and then you've got these ropes or these things that would hold these two oxen. So even when you had a younger ox, right, that's how it would be trained, is be yoked up with this other ox, and then they would work together. It was the idea of two working together as one. That was the idea, right? And so you might have also heard, maybe not, that the rabbis of this time, that's what they would call their teachings, right? You would take the, what yoke would you take? And so think of Jesus and his yoke and his teachings. He's like, take my yoke. I love that. I love the idea of that. But there's another one. And it's funny because I just saw this. I never noticed this. But while I was just praying for this time, and the Greek word, because this was written in the Greek language, right? And so the Greek word for yoke is zygos. Zygos. So some of you it might sound familiar. But if you're in biology, or if you remember biology, the word of zygote,
we get from the Greek word zygotes. Zygote, if you don't remember, is when two cells come together as one. Isn't that cool? Right? He always prays about not being unequally yoked. So there's this like marriage love picture here of yoke too that I've never seen. And yet, as you begin to read your Bible, you see it all over the place, right? So when we talk about yoke, there's some things that it implies. And I want you to keep those ideas in your head. But first thing is it implies every part of your life together. I just love worship. Here's the things that always hit me. Everything, all, those words like just rock me. In fact, my word for the year, if you've never practiced, this is a great, like, I get one word for the year. It's been trust for like 2 years, and I finally had to call that my life word and move on. And this year, my word is all. And it's just a filter that God uses. And you'll hear it come out now. And it's a really cool thing. But those words, and when you think about yoke, you think about every part of your life. Especially when you think of those oxen together. I mean, if you eat, you're eating together. If you walk, you're walking together. You're doing life together. You know, back in Jesus' day, when he called the disciples, you remember when he would walk up and he said, "Follow me." And what did they do? They dropped everything. And they followed him. Sometimes we read over that and feel like, oh yeah, that's really cool. Back again, that's that disconnect, right? What's changed? Nothing. To be a disciple of Jesus is every part of your life. When you take up your yoke, you're taking up a yoke, walking with Jesus, doing what Jesus does. And the cool thing is, as we'll see, it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. And one of the questions that I've been asking myself for the last few years, and one of the reasons this verse, this passage, has just been just a passage for me that I think I've been in for the last 5 years, for real, is that when we give everything, that we're called to give everything, that it's not just about the things you give up. We have this saying where we give up things we love for things we love even more. That's a pretty cool. But we still focus, what do we tend to focus on? The things that we sacrifice, the things that we give up. But we give up those things, Abraham, for the things we love even more. Remember the pearl of great price, the picture of the kingdom that Jesus talks about, and this guy finds a pearl? And he finds the pearl, and then he puts it back, and he goes and sells everything he has for that pearl. Why? Because the pearl's worth so much more. He's not thinking about what he gave up because he thinks about what he just had. So this is why this is a good thing. And the first disciples, they dropped everything. I mean, when you followed a rabbi in these days, you ate with him, you slept with him, you walked with him. That was the way. That was the way. And it still is. All right, so it implies every part of life together. Yoke, it implies direction too, right? It implies direction. Taking his yoke is saying, Jesus' direction is my direction. In Mark 8:34, again, Jesus' words. But he's calling the crowd to join his disciples, and he says, hey, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. That cross part, probably really rock their world. They're like, what is he talking about, a cross? They'll soon understand, won't they? Give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. It implies direction. Another thing about yoke, especially in this passage, it's so cool because I think rest just comes out. And we'll get there. That's good, right? But isn't it interesting that yoke, it implies work, right? I mean, that's what a yoke is for. It's for work. And this is what I put down, as you do his work with him where you are. This is my encouragement. Do his work with him where you are. A leader once told me, man, stop throwing away where you are. It's not about the Philippines game, you know? He's doing it right where you are. Right where you are. It's not about where you will be, but it's about where you are. Some of you just hear about it. Some of you need to hear it. Jesus is at work, and he wants to do work with you, and he wants you to work to be his disciple right where you are. John 17:24, Jesus' words, "Father, I want these whom you have given to me be with me where I am." Where I am. And before I pull off of this, I love, you know, we're getting close to Christmas. Some of you are already got your Christmas stuff up. Is there any of those people in here? It's okay. You don't have to share. I got some friends that I think they already have their Christmas stuff up. But one of the cool things about Christmas is that it is a reminder that he is with us, right? Emmanuel, God with us. That's powerful. But I like to lead out of perspective, so I just want to turn it around here, and I want you to understand something, and I want you to know this. Did you know that you can be with him? Let's think about it. God is with us. Emmanuel, he is with us. He is with us now. But did you know that you can be with him? Well, when? Always. Yoked together in union with Christ. Always. Always. You can be with him. So think about it. Your job. I'm giving you permission. Your parenting. That crazy issue that's going on right now. He's with you. You can be with him. Church, man, this is a big one. This is fun, right? What an incredible time already. You're off time. And one of the things before I pull off of yoke, because analogies are good, but they can break down a little bit. Because sometimes yoke, you can also, when people even do horses, you know, sometimes we'll put them together, the old horse and then the young horse, and the old horse is like, here we go again, you know, trying to break the horse or break the oxen and get them. This isn't a breaking. I just want to remind you. I know this seems obvious, but you got to think through these things. You know how we just read these things and we don't think about it. We don't really think about it. So here it is. That you are. This isn't about breaking your spirit. This is about building it. And remember who you're getting yoked up with. Like, you're getting, and the invitation is from him, Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, is talking to these people, talking to you and saying, take my yoke upon you. That's cool. That's really cool. That's exciting. And it's a union. So remember that. It's not a breaking of the Spirit. It's a building of the Spirit. All right, that was point one. So first thing you do, discipleship 101, take Jesus' yoke upon you. I mean, there's only two points here. They're sort of big, but there's only two. All right? Take Jesus' yoke upon you. Then Jesus goes on and he says, let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart. I love this because here's Jesus saying, like, let me. There's something we have to do, right? And remember where we're at. Don't take, we got the yoke on. What is that? Every part, every day, always. So when does he teach you? When can he teach you? When can you go to him for him to teach you? Always. It's not just this time. This is a great time. Hopefully, hopefully it's encouraging, but this isn't the time. The teaching is out there where you are, everywhere that you're at. Let me teach you. So here's two things that we can do. One is learn in the game or learn in life, like we're talking about, right? Again, this is the teaching that is while you're yoked up. While you're moving, while you're working. I don't know if you remember this story. There's a story in Luke 10. Actually, in Luke 9, it begins where, I don't know if you've ever watched The Chosen. Has everybody watched that series? And it's really, really cool. I really enjoy it. It's sort of like a Lecto Divina for you know, for reading scripture, where you get to sort of imagine what it could be. But there's a scene in there, and this is Luke 9. It comes out of Luke 9, where he sends out the disciples, and he's like, okay, now you go do it. And what was the whole point of Jesus? This is a good one to know. To preach that the kingdom of God is here. It's here. You can, the kingdom of God. And then to heal the sick. That was their assignments. They had two. That's sort of cool. Right? So he sends them out, the disciples. I mean, they're just like, you know, Jesus only had a 3-year ministry. Right? And they're already going out. Here they go. But Luke 10, go read it. He sends out 72. Right? 72 disciples. Who are these cats? People that have been following him, you know, we don't get their names. They obviously, hopefully got something, because guess what he did? He sent them out. Go preach the gospel. I don't know if they memorized it all. I don't know if they, you know, they have it all. And now go heal the sick. So he sends them out. Sometimes we forget that this discipleship thing isn't about sitting and learning. It's about going and doing and being. It always has been. And it always hasn't been for me. But that's what it is. And let me just say something. If there has been frustration, and this might just be me, for many years of following Christ, and he's so gracious and incredible, but you know, you hit those times where it's just frustrated, and there's got to be more. There's got to be more. This is it. This was it for me. Oh, this is a everything, all things, every day, he's in it. This isn't a go do this and then come back over here and then go do this part of life and try to make it yourself. This is always, all the time. And so here we have the 72 that get sent out, and they come back. Verse 17, this is Luke 10, 17, if you want to look it up. And they, it says, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." That's crazy. They're excited, right? This is another thing too. It's amazing when you're a disciple and you're walking in it. Do you think these people are going to say, "Oh, the kingdom of God, I don't know about that." You know, it's like, they're like, "Oh yeah, I know it's real. I've been in it. I've been living it. Demons were cast out in your name." And Jesus said, "Yes." And then he said this, and I never put this together. He said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." And I was like, what is that? What's going on? A pastor, I just heard this the other day. He said, "You know what that is right there? That's Jesus saying, boom." Got him. Target hit. Well done. Right? I saw Satan. And then it says, at the same time, Jesus was filled with joy. Like, this is a, when Jesus is teaching you, oh, sometimes he's going to send you out and he's going to ask you to do something. You're like, "I'm not ready for that." Man, if you're not ready to fail, you're not ready to be a disciple. That's how you learn. And that's what I love about what Jesus says. Teaching implies learning. It means you don't know. And you haven't done. And you get to learn. And you get to do. And you get to be. And so many of us get stopped because we think we have to be. We have the doorway of repentance and salvation, and then we're like, "All right, where's the changes? It should..." And it's like, no, let me teach you. Take my yoke, let me teach you. All right, learning the game. Second thing we need to do is build a training regime. What's your training schedule look like? So how do you do that? And what does this imply? We watch and copy the way Jesus lived. Look at him. Well, how do you do that? Well, we're going through some of it right now. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What an incredible thing to see how Jesus spoke, what he did. And here's the thing. What did he do? Here's some questions you ask yourself. What did he do on his days off? Because remember the Philippines game, right? Like, Jesus is healing people, like they're touching his garments. That's crazy. But what did he do all the other times to get to that point? That's a good question for a disciple. That's what the disciples were watching. Remember when they asked him, "Can you teach us how to pray? Do you know, like, The Jewish people, especially in that time, they had prayers. I mean, they prayed for everything. Like, they walk in the door and they're praying for the meal. They are a praying culture. So why, what was it about Jesus? That's probably a good place to start. And guess what? He answered them. Lord's Prayer. You want a practical place to start? Start meditating on that. What is that? So, what did he do on his breaks? What did he do while off the spot? Not just on the spot. And this is what many of us, or you might hear called spiritual disciplines. I don't know if I like that word. I was talking to my wife. She doesn't like the word disciplines much. You might not like that. Spiritual practices, or as one mentor of mine says, soul training exercises. You remember that basketball game I told you about? In all seriousness, I probably played more basketball with that group of guys than my whole like high school career. I mean, we played for like 2 years straight, like every day. I probably averaged every day. Why? I wasn't planning for a game in the Philippines that it was going to be out of my mind, you know? I loved it. I loved basketball. Discipleship isn't about that game. Discipleship is about all the things to it, all of those training exercises. So what did Jesus do? What do you need to do? Prayer, this time together, do you feel it? But what's those times when you're out there? What does that look like? Reading God's Word. You know, a big one that has been big for me, because it hasn't been in the past, and it's not a very Western culture thing, it doesn't fit, silence and solitude. Do you know how many times Jesus went off by himself to pray? He had to work at it. Like, read it. You'll laugh. I mean, poor guy. Like, people just followed him. He had to, like, go in a house and, you know, and then people would find him. And then he would go to, you know, they couldn't even go across the lake. People would find him. But he found always silence and solitude. What is your soul training exercises? You can't just be like, okay, I got all this thing. I've learned it. Now it's game time, and I'm ready to go be Michael Jordan. I'm ready to go be Jesus. Like, that's what those are for. So somebody said this about spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices, these soul training exercises. They're not spiritual, but they're wise. And they create space for you. They give you your Jesus legs, right? That's what they're for. And guess what? You try silence for maybe 5 minutes, and you're going to be like, oh man, I am terrible. That's the point. The reason, it's the point, is to consistently have, what does your soul training schedule look like? What does it look like? Do you have one? Well, that's what it means to let Jesus teach you. Give him the space to teach you. All right. Major important piece is Jesus says, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle. Do you know that's like the only time Jesus ever talked about himself? And he didn't say, you know why? Let me teach you because I am all-powerful and I created the world. That's a good reason, too, to let him teach you. Yeah. That's not what he said. He said, I'm gentle and humble. He's accessible. Remember, he's not breaking your spirit. He's building it. His love for us is so unimaginable. Man, I'm just diving in. And I'm trying to dive in more. That's a part of the soul training. Might be just to meditate on that for a year. Do you know how much he loves you? That'll go a long way. So, and then the last point is, and the great thing is, this is something that you'll find, but he says, and you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find rest for your soul. You know, at the first, we were talking about Jesus will give everyone rest when they come, right? But isn't it cool that when you are yoked to him, and when you're learning from Jesus every day, you'll find it. It's available. This isn't circumstantial. This is like an inward soul peace and rest. And I don't know about you, but I've worked with enough pastors and churches to know that we're in a different kind of season right now. It's crazy town. And I'll just tell you this, this is what the church was made for. This is what you as a disciple of Christ was made for. So if you're not feeling it, listen, this is what it is. And as you're following Christ, this is what it will feel like. There is a rest. I'm not talking about circumstances. I'm talking about an inner rest, a soul rest that you can live in and you can live with. You'll find rest for your souls. And then the last part, he says, For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. I think sometimes, and I'm not, this was me, even if it wasn't conscious, I was afraid of what it meant to follow Christ. And like all the things, I'm thinking about the things you give up, or and what does that even mean? And it feels separated and all those things. Right? But then it's like God just asked me this question. Well, I remember about 5 years ago when this scripture came up and I was speaking to a group of pastors. I read this to them and I said, how's that going for you? And then we just had a moment. Because for me at that point, that isn't how I would describe my life with Christ. It wasn't restful. I wouldn't say it was peaceful. And yet this is what Jesus says, when you follow me in this way, this is what will happen. And whatever you're thinking, it's easy. It's easy to bear. You just got to trust it. You got to trust it. And it's light. It's a good thing. It's a better thing. So let me close on this. This is something that I have, I'm actually in this spiritual formation group. It's like a 2-year group. And really talking about what does it mean to be a disciple, forming in our spirits and stuff like that. It's been really, really great. But this verse, well, a lot of my path has been about 5 years ago probably when I'm just thinking, man, like honestly, I don't think I'm doing this right. You know, some of the things I'm reading, it's starting to disconnect a little bit. Like, that's not what I'm feeling. So I got on this journey to really figure it out. So I began to hear about, like, what is my spiritual practices? You might even hear, like, old school, they used to call it rule of life, you know? Like, what's the things that you do? And so I started putting in some of those things. Reading God's Word has been this every day. What does that look like? Praying, I'm trying to put more into that. But then I started doing silence, solitude, trying those things out. So this is like, going back to the basketball metaphor, you know, the little preschool, you know, that's me shooting the, like that was my, this is my silence, you know, practices. And Jesus loves it. It's awesome. And so I was going to do 5 minutes, right? And actually before that, just to break down even what those practices can be, running is one of those for me now. And everybody's told me I look like a runner, so finally I am one. But and thank you, COVID, because I couldn't do anything else. So I started running, and I love it. And it's become something for me that is a connection with God. And so there's this one day that I was running. And it was like a 3-mile track. So it's like, and the wind was Oklahoma wind, what we're known for, right? I mean, it was blowing so hard. So I'm running, and it was like running against the wind, you know? And I'm just laughing because this is some of my practices. I'm where it's just me and God. It's an awesome time. So I'm laughing because I literally feel like I'm not moving at all, you know? And I'm just running against the wind. And so I'm finally making the turn and go around. And guess what? It's a loop. So on the other side, I'm running with the wind, with this crazy wind that's just bending trees over. And I feel like my legs are just, you know, like, I'm like, and I'm just laughing. People probably think I'm a little crazy. So sometimes that happens. But I'm just laughing like, man, I think that, you know, I don't think I have to do anything. I'm just running. So I'm just having this moment with God. Awesome. All right, next day. I'm doing, okay, this is the day I'm going to do 5 minutes, guys. I'm just going to have 5 minutes of silence. And what I'm trying to do in this is just me, is like, just silence. Like, man, we don't have, try it if you haven't. We got a lot of noise. We got a lot of noise going all the time. And so I'm just practicing. I'm on my peewee, you know, shooting. And I'm trying to just like, you don't get down on yourself. I'm just like, okay, I get crazy thoughts and I just sort of watch it go by and just sit in silence. So I'm out there on my porch, 5 minutes. And that wind is blowing. Like it's just, I mean, trees are just like, my neighbor's trees are all the way down. They're just laying down. And I, you know, having some thoughts, just letting it go, thinking. And then I just look at that and I just started thinking with a smile on my face, man, we're going through some hard stuff. Me and Christy and our family, we were just like, and probably like many of you, maybe now or know somebody for sure. I mean, hard stuff that I never thought I would be dealing with. But God's been showing me that he's with me and all these things. And I'm just smiling and thinking, man, what a headwind. Like, wow. And I thought about, you know, laughing. But it's like, man, you're with me. You're with me. So I just sort of let it go, you know. I'm thinking of a headwind and all this stuff. Now, I've done a lot. Sometimes things don't happen. God spoke to me. One question. This is how I know when it's like really short and not all my mind going crazy. One question, and it rocked me. And it was just out of nowhere again. And God just told me, he said, who told you it was a headwind? I know I'm going to mess some of you up for a while. It messed me up. I'm still like, it's like, well, I mean, because some of these things that were happening, like, this is bad. Like, I know it's not what you want. And then just one more question. Why don't you turn around? I don't, hold on a second. I mean, actually, I'm having a little time with God because, you know, you can talk to God. And I'm like, you're crazy. Like, I don't understand what you're saying. Of course it's a headwind. This is a bad thing. Well, what is a bad thing? Like, what does that mean? And I'd start pictures. Jesus and the cross. Joseph. Right? These stories. Or these are bad things. That what does God do? I mean, the cross is the very reason that we are sitting here now because of what he was willing to do for us, right? That's a bad thing. You understand that, right? So I'm still processing this. But here's the point. Why isn't it a tailwind? Why don't I turn around? I don't know. I will. I'm still praying for those things, but I'm with him in the yoke. I'm letting him teach me, and I'm trusting him. That you think those things, the Son of God, the creator of all that we see and know, can't take care of those things? Do I need to worry about them over and over again? And could it happen to be something that actually brings me closer, or these other people in my life closer to him, like he's done over and over again? So you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Take his yoke. Give him your life. This is my 50th year. This is going to be my 50s. I'm going to 50 this year. And I don't care what your number is. Today's the day. And you know what's beautiful about Jesus? He uses it all. He uses those things we thought were headwinds, there'd be tailwinds. He uses all those times where it's like, I don't know if I was doing that right. And he uses it. That's the kingdom of God. It's so upside down, it's crazy. Do you trust it? Are you willing to go all in? And then I want to encourage you to let him teach you. He will. You got to give space for it. And it's not going to be, it might be the 5 minutes of silence and you think that you failed the course. It's one down. Just see what God will do when you copy what Jesus did. The secret of the easy yoke, live like Jesus lived for all his life. And don't forget that Jesus had 30 years before he went into ministry. We forget that part. 30 years. He was a blue-collar worker. Somebody said this, that he could have did your, whatever your job is, he could have done that and brought salvation to the world. That's sort of a cool thought. Which means you can. That was the point. Do you see how much he honors life? He didn't just show up on the scene, do 3 years, and disappear. He lived. He was born. He had a mom. He lost his dad. He had brothers and sisters and all that entails. He lived and he worked. And then I'll end on this and then we'll pray. One of my favorite guys, Dallas Willard, wrote a book. And as you're just thinking about your own life and you're thinking about maybe those problems that are so real right now. And maybe some of the things you never thought you would go through. This is what he says. There is no problem in life that cannot be solved by apprenticeship to Jesus. Or discipleship. I like that word, apprenticeship. There's no problem in life that cannot be solved. So I just want to encourage you that Jesus is more than enough. And his way is so much better. But it's an all life. So God, we just come to you right now and I thank you for this group. I thank you for this church. But most of all, we just stop and we thank you for you, Jesus. And I believe that there is some perspectives and some mindsets that might need to shift a little bit. God, continue to help us to see it for what it is. To see it in this life that we have. In this culture that we have? God, what is it that we need to subtract and add? God, what are those things that you did? How would you live if you were us right now? May we live like that. And everybody's just praying. I just want to ask one question. For those that are here, and maybe this is one of those things where you've never trusted Jesus with your life. You've never given him your life, which means surrendering, like we sang about, your life to him. And here's the great thing. Jesus came. That's why he came. It's so that we could be made right and have right relationship with God. Not just saved, but sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we couldn't do it on our own. So here Jesus came and he gave his life for you and for me. So that through his life, we could have life. We could have what we're talking about. And being that I don't know who's in this room, that might be you that you say today, I have not done that, but I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to trust my life with Jesus. And just real quickly, if that's you, would you just raise your hand, meet me eye to eye while everybody's just bowed? Anybody at all? So let me talk to the others then. So I ask you again. And with all the encouragement in my heart from Jesus, are you a disciple? And what will that look like? What are the things that God has brought up in your heart and your mind right now? What is it that you need to do? Is it understanding that yoke and being in union with Christ? That it's no longer you who lives. It's Christ who lives in you. Or maybe it's the soul training exercises. What do those look like? And saying, God, what does that look like for my life that I begin to incorporate in every part to let you teach me? I don't know what it is. But if that's you, and you're saying, hey, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to go deeper in what it means in my life. Would you mind just standing up with me, if that's you? And this is what I want to do, is I'm going to pray for us, that he would do that very thing. God, we just thank you so much that you've allowed us to live a life that is through you and that is in you. I pray that you would help us to understand what it means. Teach us today. And God, for every person that is standing, God, whatever it is that we are looking to or trying to understand deeper or know, God, I pray that you would bring your Holy Spirit and you would show us what it means to live as a true follower of you, that we might find rest for our souls. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, Amen.